Everyone knows that dictionaries are gold mines if you want to know about word definitions, spellings, and pronunciation. But unfortunately, most people's understanding of dictionaries stops there. It's a shame because there's so much more to dictionaries. In fact, the vast majority of grammar questions that land in my inbox would never have perplexed a soul if only people taught kids in school how to use dictionaries. Questions like, must you say I have gotten, or can you say I have got? Is it, she hanged the picture on the wall, or she hung the picture on the wall? Why can you turn smart into smarter, but you can't turn intelligent into intelligenter? How many hyphens are in the sentence, a water skier, water skis on water skis? Spoiler alert, it's not three. What's the plural of medium? When you need a pickup truck to pick up something, are both instances of pickup written the same way? Is there a hyphen in community-wide, or do you write it as one word? Why do I sometimes see donut spelled D-O-N-U-T, and other times it's D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T? Is it wrong to use the plural pronoun they to refer to a single person if you don't know his or her sex, as in, everyone who comes should make sure they park in the street? Why is it Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and not dwarves? Can I use impact as a verb, as in, that policy will impact us greatly? Is it correct to say that I graduated college, or must I say that I graduated from college? The list goes on and on. In fact, so many of grammar's seeming mysteries can be demystified completely if you just know how to use a dictionary. So for anyone who wants to become really grammar savvy in, oh, say, an hour or so, all you have to do is this. Pick up a physical dictionary and read the part in the front that tells you how to use the dictionary. Yes, these sections sometimes appear in online dictionaries, but they can be hard to find online, and when you look at them online, it can be hard to see where they begin and end. But if you seek out this information in a physical dictionary, you get a good snapshot of everything you need to know in order to decipher the countless mysteries contained in that book. The name of this section can vary from dictionary to dictionary. For example, in both Webster's New World College Dictionary and my recent American Heritage Dictionary, these instructions are in a section called Guide to the Dictionary. But in Merriam-Webster's Collegiate, it's called Explanatory Notes. While the titles may vary, the content is pretty much the same. Most of these guides start off with the basics, explaining what a main entry word is. Everyone pretty much knows that main entry words are, you know, the listings in the dictionary. So by the time you get to the part about the guide words, which are the words at the top of each page that let you know where you are in the alphabet, you might think that there's nothing more to be learned in this section. But read on, because that couldn't be further from the truth. When you keep reading, you'll come across information about what are called variants. And if you read this section, you'll know exactly how to tell whether one word has two acceptable spellings, like donut, and whether either one is preferred. When you get to a section called inflected forms, you've struck gold. Here's where you learn how the dictionary indicates past tense and past participle forms. For example, this section will tell you that if there are no bold-faced inflected forms after a main entry word of a verb, its past tense and past participle are formed regularly by adding ed. This is how you know it's today I walk, yesterday I walked, ed, and in the past I have walked, ed. In both cases, you're just adding that ending onto walk. But if you do see inflected forms after the entry word of a verb, you know that this is an irregular verb that doesn't follow this simple add ed formula. For example, under the main entry word eat, you'll see immediately in bold, ate followed by eaten. And armed with the knowledge that this is how the dictionary indicates the simple past tense and the past participle in that order, you know that it's today I eat, yesterday I ate, in the past I have eaten. This comes in extreme handy with more difficult words like hang, hanged, and hung, drink, drank, and drunk, swim, swam, and swum, If you know how to use a dictionary, you will never puzzle over any of those choices again. In this section, you'll also find out how the dictionary indicates comparative and superlative forms. Basically, if there's an ER and an EST version after the word, as there is with the word smart, you know you can form the comparative as smarter and the superlative as smartest. But if there's no such form there, as there isn't for intelligent, you know that you cannot say intelligenter and intelligentest, and that you must instead say more intelligent and most intelligent. There's also plenty of info in that section to teach you whether a term is a suffix that can be attached to a word without a hyphen, or whether it's a freestanding word that can't be spliced on to another. There's stuff in that section that will tell you when the plural of the noun medium is media, and when it's mediums. And once you know how to use those parts of speech labels for noun, adjective, verb, etc., you can see that pickup as a noun is one word, but the verb is two words, pickup, and that it is a phrasal verb. The same part of speech labels will tell you whether a verb is intransitive, as is graduate in I graduate from college, transitive, as in I graduate college, or, as happens to be the case with the verb graduate, both. So spend a little time with your nose buried in that front part of the dictionary, and I promise it will pay off.